Capitalizing on inspiration is one of the greatest challenges that a lot of us face. And it's something that often separates those that really are able to accomplish a lot and those that unfortunately do not. If we look at the story of Yisro in this week's Parsha, we're able to really gain a lot of insights into this critical idea, which is certainly very applicable. We're going to ask two questions and give a very interesting approach, which is based on an idea from Rav Nissen Alpert. The first question is that we're told right away by Yishma Yisro, that Yisro heard. He heard what happened. And the question is that, why tell us this? We are already told in Az Yashir, Shamu Amim Yergozu, that basically all the nations heard. So everyone heard what happened. So why specify Yisro heard? It's obvious that he's included in all the nations. The second question is that we of course know, and we learn as little kids accurately, that the Torah doesn't have any extra words, doesn't have any extra letters, in fact. And so the Torah could just say Yisro heard, and we know exactly who Yisro is, but the Torah goes on to give a pretty elaborate description of Yisro right away. Vayishma Yisro, Kohen Midian, Chosen Moshe. Three different descriptions. Yisro heard, he was a Kohen of Midian, and he was the father-in-law of Moshe. Why tell us all those things? Why is that relevant? Why not just say Yisro heard? So the idea is as follows. The Yisro, and we really have to be able to learn together to understand who he was, where he came from, in order to really get the full picture of how impactful it was that he came and why he came. So Yisro actually originally believed that just human culture and wisdom would be the basis for improving the world. I don't know if he didn't believe in God or didn't find it necessary to have an all-powerful being of justice and righteousness. Rav Nissen Alpert explains that at first he saw Paro in this light, that this is what Paro is able to accomplish. Paro, the leader of Mitzrayim, is able to do tremendous good. And according to the Midrash, we're actually told that he was one of the main advisors to Paro. Paro sought his advice and asked him what to do with the Bnei Israel. And Paro, of course, decided to be an extremely cruel leader, to enslave the Jewish people. And Yisro spoke out against this. And he ended up having to flee, having to run away. And already the way he viewed the world was shattered. He figured man is what it's about. Man is the one who's able to do good. Man is the one who's able to impact the world in a great way. And he saw the leader do the total opposite. So Yisro searched out for a God. There has to be someone who's above all this. Someone who bestows kindness. Someone who's selfless. Someone who acts with proper justice. But he couldn't find such a God. And we're told, of course, that when he was a Kohen Midian, that description is not just about Midian per se, but it's about all the Avodah Zarahs that he sought out. He was a priest when it came to Avodah Zarah. And he tried everything under the sun. And the reason he did that was because he was looking for this. He was looking for the God who is able to bring good into the world and to do chesed and act according to mishpat, to proper justice. And he realized that what do the non-Jews do? What do they view these gods as? They actually give them human characteristics of jealousy, of anger towards other gods, right? They're polytheistic. There are many gods. This God hates that God, and they fight. He says, this is terrible. This is not real. This isn't MS. It can't be. And then, of course, he meets Moshe. And Moshe informed Yisro of the Ribono Shalom. And of a Ribono Shalom who's selfless, a Ribono Shalom who runs the world with perfect justice, of Mida Kenegem Mida. A God who loves everyone and bestows kindness. And he said, this is it. But where's the evidence? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much rachamim and so much chesed to give to the people, where are the people? They're enslaved in Mitzrayim. How could this be that this is the emes? How could it be that Ribbono Shel'olam is as Moshe is saying? And the evidence came at Kriyas Yamsuf. Because when Kriyas Yamsuf occurred, he saw that in fact, Hashem followed through. And Hashem did act according to justice. And those Mitzrim that did terrible things to the Jews, they got punished in the end. And the Jewish people who are loved by Hashem, they were redeemed. And they were saved. And that's why he came. Unlike the nations of the world. Shamu Amim Yergazu. They all heard the same thing. But for them, they didn't take any action. It didn't affect them like it affected Yisro. When it came to Yisro, so Rav Nissen Alper explains that there are a number of different forms of hearing. One is on an intellectual level, but it's lacking in the emotional component. So you hear something, this happens to me, honestly, a lot of times in the news. I'll see something, and I'll have an intellectual response, but it won't necessarily always affect me emotionally. And then there's the other side, and this is actually what happened to the nations of the world by Kriyas Yamsuf, where they were affected emotionally, and they heard from an emotional perspective, but they were lacking the intellectual wherewithal to make something of it. They were scared, they were frightened, but they didn't do anything. They didn't take action. And Yisro heard on both an intellectual and emotional level. And that's what led him to join Bnei Yisrael. His whole life leading to that moment played a part in this. This is precisely why the parsha begins with the elaborate description of Yisro. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard with his intellect. He heard what happened. Kohen Midian. The Kohen Midian which he was, when he sought out to find a true God, a God of rachamim, a God of kindness, and the Chosein Moshe, and the fact that he learned from his son-in-law who the Ribbono Shel'olam was, and exactly how he does act to his people and to the rest of the world. And all those components of Yisro came together at that moment, and that's why he joined. There's a story about a student in Vilna, who was one of the top Talmidim, and he was always engrossed in learning. And he was having lunch with his friends one day. And they were talking Torah. They were talking what they learned, I guess, in morning Seder. And one of the Talmidim at the table posed a question. And he started thinking about it. He says, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And one of the other Talmidim at the table says, what do you mean you don't know the answer? It's a Befer Shetosvos. And he realized, you're right. That's a Tosvos. And he forgot it. And he was so embarrassed that he forgot something that was explicitly stated in Tosvos that he decided to just leave the table then and there. And he actually went into isolation, learning for 7 years. And he came out from wherever he went, and he was a huge Talmid Chacham. He devoted those 7 years to tremendous Hasmada Rabbah to make sure that he would never, ever forget learning like that. And the problem was that when he left the meal, he actually never benched. He never officially finished the meal. And the Talmidim approached Rav Chaim Brisker and asked him if he did the right thing. Now, he left, he didn't bench, he should have benched. But look what he was able to accomplish. He was able to go and become a huge Talmid Chacham. So Rav Chaim responded, of course he should have benched. He didn't do the right thing there. But Rav Chaim added, he said, but had he stayed for a few more minutes to bench, he certainly wouldn't have left and become the Talmid Chacham that he became. That even just a few minutes of hesitation, a few minutes of delay, would have caused him to not take that inspiration and run with it. It's a really powerful thing. That when it comes to inspiration, when we're inspired to do something, we have to act on it right away. And we often get inspired, whether it's listening to a shiur, going to a kumzitz, all other modes of inspiration that we encounter on a daily or weekly basis. And the challenge is not to get inspired. That's an easy thing to get inspired. But it's what the inspiration will lead you to do in your life. And will it be just emotional? Will it be just intellectual? Something that will affect you for maybe a moment? Or will it be something that will lead to everlasting change? May all of us be zocha to take the inspiration that comes to us, from wherever it is, whatever the source is, but to take it, decide on an action to take, and begin that action right away. And that inspiration will shape who we are, who we become, and how we interact with people. And we're able to become the people we are because of those moments of inspiration that we take with us and act upon.